What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Oh boy. All right. Well, here we are, guys. Chargers lose to the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, a national embarrassment, losing to the Steelers' third string quarterback, Devlin Hodges, getting off to another terrible start. The Chargers found themselves down after the first possession of the third quarter, 24-0, after being down 17-0 to the Broncos. And they fight back, but they're unable to really come back and actually make things very close. The final score is 24-17, but that is not at all indicative of what this game was actually like. So I know there's a lot of upset Charger fans out there right now, and I just want to say we totally understand. We thank you for coming back and listening to this after that, because, I mean, what a tough game. I wouldn't really blame anyone if they just wanted to go hide under a rock for a few days after that, because it's not just going to 2-4, but losing to that team. So we'll start the show off with our lead story, talking about the game and where the Chargers are at now at this point in the season, dropping to 2-4 and really the bottom of the AFC right now. And then we'll go ahead and get into the game recap, and we'll expedite the recap to not make you guys live through the entire thing. But then we'll end the show with a new segment. We actually had a few voicemails after the game that people that called in and actually left some voicemails. So we're going to do some fan frustrations to end the show. We'll play some voicemails and just talk about all the issues that face the Chargers right now after this super embarrassing loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The Chargers lose to the Steelers 24-17 on Sunday Night Football, a nationally televised game where the Chargers came out and absolutely embarrassed themselves in this game. The final score does seem close, but the Chargers spotted the Steelers 24 points, going up 24-0 after the first possession of the third quarter. The Chargers could not get out of their own way. Phillip Rivers, in his first three drives, has a ball tipped up for an interception and also throws a swing pass to Melvin Gordon that goes over his head. It ends up being a lateral pass and counts as a fumble, and the rookie Devin Bush from the Steelers picks it up, takes it easily into the end zone, and that was just the story of the game. It looked a lot like the game against the Broncos. David, everything that we were worried about in this game came true. The Steelers got pass rush all night long. The one sack that they had does not show how much pressure they got in this game. And the Chargers could not tackle. They had a bunch of third downs where they had the guy behind the line of scrimmage with a chance to get off the field. Most notably, Jatavis Brown gets beat on a long pass play that started well behind the first down mark, has an open shot on James Conner. He brutally misses the tackle and lets him walk into the end zone to make it 21-0. And David, it was just basically all of our fears come true. A slow start. Chargers can't protect Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is turning the ball over and the defense still can't tackle.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I mean, that's pretty much all I felt watching this football game. It was an absolute mess from the beginning. The Chargers let Murphy's Law really affect them again. I mean, they got behind the eight ball early. They made stupid mistakes. Phillip Rivers throws a backwards pass. That's just completely inexcusable for a quarterback who's been in the league 15 years. Absolutely terrible. I mean, the Chargers showed no intensity. They, like you said, they could not block Phillip Rivers. They couldn't tackle. I mean, it's the same nightmare playing over and over again.
It does seem like it. It just seems at this point like something crazy every week is going to happen to make the Chargers lose the game somehow. And it's the same ingredients from the other losses this season, David. After getting off to a pretty hot start rushing the football, the last three games the Chargers haven't ran for more than 40 rushing yards. In this game, they have 14 carries for 32 yards. Obviously, when you go down as big as the Chargers did in this game, you're going to have to throw it a ton, but Austin Eckler wasn't involved as much in this game, and that seems to be really hurting the offense as well. And Phillip Rivers had some good moments, but it comes in the middle of all the really bad plays that he made. And the offense has really just been awful. It's been a really, really bad offense. They went 7 consecutive quarters without scoring a touchdown before they ended up scoring one in the fourth quarter of this game. Didn't score an offensive touchdown last week. Didn't have one today until on Sunday until the fourth quarter. And now, David, you sit at 2-4 on the season for the first time since Anthony Lynn started his coaching career, going 0-4 before getting back to 2-4. And at this point, you're getting lapped in the AFC. And in a week where you see the Chiefs lose their second game and you could actually get back within striking distance, you lose to another team you should absolutely beat.
Yeah, and you can't get this far behind in the division and expect to be able to crawl yourselves out. I mean, you're gifted a golden opportunity to reestablish yourself in the playoff race, and you squandered that again, losing to a team you absolutely should have beaten. It's a disgusting feeling, and it's just hard to have any confidence that the Chargers are going to be able to win games moving forward. You just don't think that the coaching staff is going to make the necessary adjustments, or this team is going to show any sense of urgency to be able to actually do what it takes to get W's. It's a sickening feeling.
It is a sickening feeling, and Charger fans have to be sick seeing another season that goes down the drain seemingly with injuries and a lack of the Chargers being able to execute when it matters the most. And in these games, it's all in the beginning of the game where they're just letting these games get out of hand and not ever giving themselves a chance. In the first three games of the season, we saw a Chargers team that could play okay in the first half and could not play at all in the second half. Now they're just getting behind big points in the first half and not being able to come back. And it felt a little bit better knowing that, hey, maybe Houston's actually a pretty good team after beating the Chiefs. The Lions hung in there with the Chiefs. The Colts beat the Chiefs and you beat them. So the losses didn't look that bad. But after losing to two teams who coming into the game against the Chargers had a combined one win, it's absolutely inexcusable and unacceptable. The coaching staff has to take a lot of the blame. The front office and Tom Telesco for not addressing the offensive line takes a ton of the blame. And now the Chargers, after digging themselves a hole in this game, have now dug themselves a huge hole for the season. And it's and their chances of getting out of that hole are not looking great. But we do have two more segments to get into, talking about a game recap before getting into some fan frustrations and listening to some Chargers voicemails to wrap up the show. And I know that's a tough game, you guys, and you might not be in the mood tonight. So if you need a little extra pep in your step in the bedroom, there's only one place to go to, and that's BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since it's chewable, it works up to twice as fast as the pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, of course, you guys, we still have our special deal running where you can get your first order of Blue Chew for free when you go to BlueChew.com and enter the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment where, unfortunately, like we do every week, we have to get into these games. And this segment's a lot funner when the Chargers are winning because we kind of get to relive some of the biggest plays of the game and really kind of bask in the glory of another good Chargers win. But unfortunately, this year it's been kind of a horror story because it's just reliving, you know, these traumatic moments. But unfortunately, we live in a world where the Chargers are blowing games again, and they look like the team they were before last season when they couldn't win any close games. And you were trying to figure out every single week how exactly they were going to blow whatever game they were going to play in. Let's start with the first three possessions for the Chargers. The Chargers punt on their first possession. They force a 3-and-out against the Steelers offense. A really good start from the Chargers defense. And then on the next drive, disaster strikes again early for the Chargers. Phillip Rivers throws the ball to Melvin Gordon behind the line of scrimmage, behind Melvin Gordon, and it is a lateral that gets picked up by Devin Bush for a touchdown. So you're going up against a third-string quarterback, and you spot him 7 points after he just showed he actually couldn't go down and get a touchdown and really put anything together on the first drive. So then you get the ball right back. You give up a fumble return for a touchdown. So what do you do to respond? David, Phillip Rivers gets tipped up in the air, an easy interception. Again, it's Devin Bush, the rookie phenom linebacker. And the Chargers, just like that, are a couple plays away from going down 14-0 with off two turnovers, really, really bad turnovers. And then on defense, on the next drive, they just couldn't stop the run. The Steelers went to a heavy run package, and they ran the ball right down their throat of the Chargers defense. And when they couldn't run on third and four, they would just throw it to James Conner out of the backfield, and nobody could tackle him.
I mean, Daniel, was I watching the Broncos game all over again? Because that's exactly what they did to the Chargers, pretty much to a T. Unexplainable mistakes when you throw behind the line of scrimmage to Melvin Gordon and it's not even close to him. It's just not things that you expect. And unfortunately, it's just an all too familiar pattern for the Chargers. You know, spotting their opponent 17, 20, 24 points, giving the third string quarterback nothing but confidence. There's nothing that was more detrimental than making that quarterback in his debut as comfortable as possible. There's nothing that can make you more comfortable than a gigantic lead.
Yeah, and they made it so easy for Devlin in this game. I mean, he only threw 20 passes, and the whole game plan was stop the run and make him beat you. And to his credit, on third down, he made some timely throws, made some easy, safe plays to the running back, and got first downs. But the Chargers' game plan went awry from the very beginning. And after that, the game plan of being able to tackle the opponent when they have the ball went right out the window, because the Steelers come back and go right down the field against the Chargers. 14 plays, 86 yards, just short yardage at a time, but always converting those third downs. And they go right down the field and score another touchdown on third and eight, David. Devlin Hodges throws it to James Conner, and he's not even at the line of scrimmage yet. Ja'Tavis Brown has a blow-up shot, basically, on him on the sideline. All he has to do is get him out of bounds. And, of course, this is why we didn't want Ja'Tavis Brown on the field to begin with, and we were surprised when Anthony Lynn said, you know, he's going to come back and he's going to play. This is why he wasn't on the field to begin with. An inexcusable play. It's third down, and you force a long field goal instead. You give up a first down, and not just a first down, but a touchdown. 21-0. And then on the next Chargers drive, you go down, and David, once again, Phillip Rivers has a huge, costly, intentional grounding call against him, which makes it third and 19 instead of about third and six. And what happens, of course, it pushes them back. They end up going for a field goal after Melvin Gordon picks up all but about 5 yards away from getting a first down. There's only 2 minutes left in the first half. You're down 21-0, and what do you do on fourth and six? Instead of trying to go for it and make it, you know, a two-score game, you kick a field goal, and David, they deserved to miss that field goal. I know Chase McLaughlin has to make that, but what does 21-3 do for you at that point? It was a cowardly move by the coaching staff. You have to try to get back in that game. You end up having an inexcusable penalty, and then you double it up by not going for it, and of course, the Chargers leave more points off the board.
That's a Mike McCoy move, Daniel. That is not an Anthony Lynn move. That is not the aggressive, put my arms up, bow up, you know, type of, you know, Anthony Lynn move. That's not what you do in that situation. You are so, yeah, it's exactly right. You're so far behind the eight ball. The field goal does nothing for you. You go for it in that situation. You had the momentum. You were moving the football. You got to go for it. You got to get a touchdown. You're already so far behind. And it just, like you said, they deserve to miss it because that was the wrong move.
Yeah, and the Steelers were getting a lot of push with their offensive line. We knew that was going to be kind of a mismatch. But at the end of the day, the Steelers averaged less than 3.5 yards per carry. Yes, they did a much better, the Chargers, that is, in the second half and kind of bottled them up a little bit. But they just stuck with it and just kept grinding out drives, taking time off the clock. And when they got down there, they put points on the board, which is the main difference in this game. Coming out of halftime after being down 21-0, the Steelers go on a 13-play, 73-yard drive and just absolutely churn the Chargers' defense some more, end up with a field goal to make it 24-0. The Chargers' first possession coming out of halftime, because we know they might like to make a lot of adjustments, they go three and out. Fortunately, the defense gets them the ball back, and on their next drive, they end up going all the way down the field. And then on third and 14, Phillip Rivers can't find Keenan Allen. And on 4th and 14, when you're down 24-0 at this point, it's a 3-score game. Another hugely costly coaching decision. I know it's 4th and 14, but instead they kick a field goal to make it 24-3. Now it's still a 3-possession game. It's just another play that made absolutely no sense by the Chargers. So now it's a 24-3 game. And then the next drive, the Chargers get lucky. Rayshon Jenkins, I have to give him credit, makes a nice play, undercuts a receiver, jumps in front of him for an interception at the free safety position. He would have 3 this year if one wasn't called back by a penalty. And finally, the Chargers offense decides to wake up, but it was much too late at that point. They didn't score at all until the 4th quarter. And then they go down the field and get a huge touchdown from Hunter Henry, who was just gigantic in this game. But they go down the field and score a touchdown. Hunter Henry catches a huge day for Hunter Henry. It was great to see him back. 8 catches for 100 yards in this game. But it was too little too late. Even after forcing a punt on the next Steelers drive, the Chargers come down and get another touchdown. Guess who? Hunter Henry again. But at that point, there was only 1.5 minutes left. And then even getting the 3 and out, they saved all their timeout. So I guess that's a bonus, David. But they come back and have the Steelers punt to the 1-yard line, of course. So Phillip Rivers gets the ball with about 1 minute left, has to go 99 yards for a touchdown, ends up throwing an interception. It just seems like we've seen that so many times, David. The ball being in Phillip Rivers' hands, and he just has to go the length of the field and score a touchdown to keep the Chargers in it. And by no means is he guilt-free in this game, but it's just too much to ask of him, and it's too much to ask of an offense. Just can't turn the switch on like that after being really ineffective all day.
And, you know, they had an opportunity to tie the game, Daniel, but I don't think anybody really ever felt like they were going to be able to do it. I mean, nope. Even if, you know, they had better field position, it just, that wasn't the way that game was going. I mean, the Steelers just thoroughly dominated that game. They were more aggressive. They were more physical. They imposed their will. They were more urgent. They were more desperate, and it showed. They were the better team, and the Chargers deserved to lose this game.
And, you know, it's a frustrating point in the season when Phillip Rivers is grabbing a Steelers defender who's trying to wave the Chargers off the field and grabs him and doesn't let him go for about, you know, 25, 30 seconds. That was very interesting to see. Don't ever see that out of Phillip Rivers. And I think it just shows the frustration. And he said that after the game. He laid it out how frustrating it's been. And he said that his guys need to have more urgency, and the Steelers had more urgency than the Chargers, which is unacceptable. I mean, if you're not hungrier for a win than a team with its third-string quarterback, then you don't deserve to win the game flatly. But we do have one more segment to get into, letting the fans vent about their frustrating Sunday, coming up right after this. All right, David, time to get into the final segment of the show, and we're going to be doing a different segment than we normally do on Mondays, usually the reasons why the Chargers lost, but we'll have plenty of time tomorrow on what went wrong to get into that as well, because it's going to be a pretty small what went right segment. We might just name it the Hunter Henry segment in tomorrow's show. But let's go ahead and get into some fan frustrations. We had some people call into the show after the game was over to vent about the game and just the Chargers in general. So let's go ahead and get into it. We have a Lamlock calling in first, a good friend of our co-host John Kegley, who is currently serving the United States Army and is in Fort Drum in New York, calling into the Chargers. So thank you, Lamlock, for your service, and thank you for the call. Let's hear what he has to say.
Yo, it's your boy, Lamlock, originally from San Diego, friend of Don Kegley, living in Fort Drum, New York. Tough game to watch. I mean, my bearings ran out, destroyed my room. The season's over. This is all Coach Lynn's fault and the GM. Like, they deserve this. That's all I got to say. Go Chargers, unfortunately.
Well, short and sweet there from Lamlock. He's fed up with Anthony Lynn, and after some of the decisions tonight, I'd have to agree with, I mean, just the sentiment of it has to be better. And he's also, you know, saying Tom Telesco has to really take accountability for this too, David. So right now, as we stand, the Chargers are 2-4. There's obvious things in the coaching that you can look at that you say, hey, where's the game plan? Where are the adjustments? They're non-existent. And for the front office, you have to say, where's the offensive line depth? Why are we so ill-prepared for these injuries to come and really derail this season? And David, I'm one of the last people to, you know, call for a coach's head, especially this early coming off of a 12-4 season with the amount of injuries that the Chargers have. But at this point, especially seeing, you know, the field goal attempt when you're down 21-0, the field goal attempt when you're down 24-0, that's all coaching. And you know what else is coaching, David, is the penalties. Go 8 penalties for 78 yards. You're just not going to win games like that. You cannot do it. There's another big play where the third down, you're going to get off the field and Joey Bosa jumps off sides. There's just too many penalties in this game to go along with the rest of the Chargers' disaster to not say, hey, this team isn't well coached right now. They're not executing. They're not being disciplined. And obviously, something's not getting through to these players right now. And Coach Anthony Lynn and Tom Telesco have to take the blame for that.
100% they got to take the blame. There's no excuse to go out there and play disgusting football. And then what I mean by that is all the excessive, unnecessary penalties. You're already hurting yourself by the decisions that you made prior, you know, and you're putting yourself in an even worse position by getting more penalties. It's just something that you just cannot have. With all the injuries, with all the other things that you have plaguing you, you don't need to get in your own way even more. And that is a direct reflection of the coaching staff. And yeah, I'm one of the guys that was like, hey, Tom Telesco, why didn't you go out there and really push all your chips into the table and really try to put the right type of roster around Phillip Rivers to put him in the best position to really go get a championship? You didn't do that. You've never done that. It's not really your MO, but at some point you got to say, hey, I'm going for it. And I think it's just long past due.
Yeah, and at this point in the Chargers season, it's probably past the point of no return. At this point, if you're the Chargers, you basically have to go 8-2 the rest of the season. I mean, that's what it's going to take to make it into the AFC playoffs, more than likely. And I don't know how at any point you could feel confident the Chargers are going to do this. The only chance the Chargers really had is to take care of the soft games on their schedule and hope that they could have guys come back from injuries and still be afloat and still be competitive in the division and the conference. And that's anything but the case. The Chargers have absolutely imploded from the inside out. Bring back Melvin Gordon, who hasn't played all season long, and he's looked dreadful so far and absolutely has bogged down the offense. Having the other bad decisions that have been made from the Chargers coaching staff and front office and everyone put together, I mean, they all need to look in the mirror. And this season has just gone so far off the rails that it's honestly hard to talk about, because it was a season of such promise. Pretty much everyone expected the Chargers to be in the playoffs this season, and now it's looking like there's almost no chance of it. There's just so many tough games left on the schedule, and I don't know how you have any confidence the Chargers are going to pull any of them out. I mean, after losing to two teams who had a combined one win going into the game. But we do have another voicemail from Joey, pretty much just talking about all the bad things that have happened for the Chargers so far. Let's hear what Joey has to say.
Hey, it's Joey from Brooklyn, born and raised in San Diego, but live here now. First off, I want to say I love the show. I appreciate for what you guys do, sticking with it, even though I know at times it's hard. I had a couple of quick questions. I just got off the Steelers game, and I know it's a rough one for everybody, but considering that we have so many injuries, I'm kind of, at least in my mind, giving Lynn a little bit of a mulligan this year. I do realize that he's making some questionable decisions. But as for next year, considering that we get most of our roster back and they don't go immediately on IR, what would be the level of success that we will want to see from him to consider, you know, giving him an extension and or keeping him on? Is it just playoffs? Is it division title or maybe conference title? Another question is just regarding the draft class. The 2018 draft class, while a lot of them, or some of them are hurt, a lot of them contribute even in a rotational or backup role. The latest draft class, the 2019 one, seems to be way more subpar. Definitely feel like we should have went aligned a little bit more, but this is, you know, hindsight being 2020. What do you feel about Tom Telesco and, you know, the comparison of the 18 to 19 draft class, and do you foresee him maybe course correcting a little bit next year, considering that we might have a really good pick? As I mentioned, I'm a native San Diegan, although I don't live there anymore, and it's just a little bit disappointing. I know I don't want to rehash or bring up old wounds, but just seeing the attendance of the particular game with so many fans there, it seems to be getting worse, and reading about, you know, low PSLs and whatnot. I feel like basically the team moved to LA. They haven't had to live through a 3-13 season, or basically a bad season like we've had to back in SD. So, do you have any insights into how that might affect the organization or just thoughts in general? And again, you could skip that one because I know sometimes that's not a positive conversation for a lot of folks, but that's pretty much my thoughts. Thanks again for, you know, sticking with us and giving us daily information about the team, you know, win, lose, or draw. Still love them and going to ride with them throughout this. So we've seen bad seasons again, and then things will get better. Just feel bad for Rivers and some of this regime that has been through a lot of tough seasons. Hopefully we can maybe get there sometime soon. Thanks, guys. Talk later. Bye.
All right. Well, that was a long voicemail, but Joey, I can't even really blame you for that because, I mean, there's just a lot to talk about. But I do think that Anthony Lynn will get a break on this season because of the injuries. You saw what happened with Mike McCoy. He wasn't a good coach and got a break because of all the injuries that happened when he was the head coach. And Tom Telesco, I think, I mean, is probably pretty safe right now. But I think that Anthony Lynn next year, David, would have to at least make the playoffs to even consider giving him an extension. But I think overall, you just have to see the Chargers cut down on bad coaching mistakes, bad game plans. I mean, there's a saying, you know, everyone has a plan until they're punched in the mouth. Well, the Chargers go in, get punched in the mouth, and they never had a plan to begin with. So I think that if the Chargers season continues on the arc that it is right now, we don't know what's going to happen with Phillip Rivers right now. And he's had a Peyton Manning in his last season, last couple of games. But I think you'd have to at least make it a deep playoff run next season to consider an extension of a few years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it right now. I mean, it's just, you know, there's just so many things going wrong with this Chargers team. And yeah, absolutely, you have to take a really deep playoff run. I mean, I'm talking maybe a conference championship situation to get any kind of significant extension. I mean, but there's a lot of just core philosophy type of changes that need to be made for that to take place. And I don't know. I just can't right now in the current state of things, I can't see those adjustments being made.
Yeah, and Joey also brings up the 2018 draft class versus the 2019 draft class. And of course, when you're looking at it at face value right now, it's very early to make any kind of judgments on these classes. But when you're talking about the 2018 class having Derwin James, I mean, that kind of sets it apart right there. But I mean, let's look at the contributions that we've gotten this year out of 2019 draft picks. Jerry Tillery has been non-existent for many points of the season. Nazir Adderley hasn't been able to get on the field because of injuries so far. In the third round, you picked a developmental offensive lineman that was never even supposed to see the field instead of bringing someone in that you probably knew you would need at some point because your offensive line is so bad. In the fourth round, you get Drew Tranquil, and I think we're excited about him, but we haven't seen enough of him yet. Fifth, Easton Stick, who doesn't play. Emeka Egbuwe, who doesn't play. And Cortez Broughton, who's a reserve in the seventh round. So right now, David, I mean, there's really no comparison between the two draft classes. And I think that Tom Telesco has drafted well. But I think you're right there, Joey. The Chargers should have looked more into the offensive line instead of just trying to take a lottery pick with a third-round pick. And right now, it's not a good draft class for Tom Telesco, but only time will tell.
Right. I mean, I never like to evaluate draft picks so early, Daniel. It's just not fair to them. And I mean, and all players develop at different speeds at different positions. So, you know, you got to let that kind of unfold. But obviously, if you're just looking at it at face value right now, I mean, and, you know, just stopping at Derwin James, I mean, it's just really not fair to compare anyone else in the 2019 draft class because none of them have even come close to any type of, you know, that production or that, you know, just superstar quality, that qualities that exude out of Derwin James. And obviously, you know, a guy that the Chargers sorely missed this year. But yeah, I mean, Jerry Tillery, I mean, what can you say? Obviously, hindsight's 2020. You know, you probably should have took an offensive lineman at that spot, but you know, you made the decision that you made, and you know, you got to stick with it.
Yeah, and still, the DJ Fluker is the last offensive lineman the Chargers have taken in the last 30-something years in the first round of a draft. So they don't really seem that committed to fixing it, and they didn't bring in anyone in the offseason at all. Not even a guy they thought could just compete for a spot. None of that happened. And to address the last question you had, Joey, about L.A., I mean, we're San Diego guys, but we're not afraid to talk about the whole L.A. situation. For everyone in San Diego, it sucked, obviously. And coming after this game, I'm not surprised to see a question about it. Just given how full that stadium was of Steeler fans. The broadcast was saying 75% Steelers fans. That might be a little conservative. Steelers fans travel really well, and I'm sure John Kegley, when he gets back, because he was at the game tonight, so that's why he couldn't record, will tell you what it was like. But he'll also tell you that in San Diego, they were getting those kind of crowds at those games as well. The Steelers travel, I mean, exceptionally well. But as far as what does it mean for the Chargers in Los Angeles having a bad season like this, it can't be good. I mean, the Chargers went 12-4 last year. They won a playoff game last year, and that never directly resulted in a boost in attendance for the team. The Chargers are a team that's kind of a fish out of water right now. They're in a place that hasn't really accepted them as a sports team that they care about. There's just too many other sports teams to root for in LA, and that was just an uphill battle as soon as they were going. As far as the PSLs and the low sale of those goes, I mean, yeah, the Chargers promised big bucks moving there, and it hasn't come through so far. But as far as the fan support goes, it's really hard to see them gaining traction at this point. After a winning season, they can't get the fans to come in. After a losing season, what it's been so far, that's not going to help as well. And I'm sure them being 2-3 going into this one didn't help as well. But the Chargers made their bet as far as bringing in new fans when they move the team. And that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. But sorry for kind of a depressing show. That is going to wrap things up for today's show. I mean, guys, no matter how this season goes, we will be here. We will find things to talk about. We will find the silver lining and all of that, and we'll keep breaking it down. But tomorrow we'll be getting into what went right and what went wrong. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers. And thank you to everyone, Joey and Lamlock, for calling into the voicemail line. You guys can call in at 323-524-7924. We'll probably do another fan segment on Friday because we're going to try to keep doing that on Friday shows. And also, guys, if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from, the Himalayan Podcasting app, Google Podcast, TuneIn, or wherever you can find the show there. But thanks for hanging in with us, guys. We really appreciate it. We love you guys, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.